Alaska's legislature passed a capital budget during a third special session in less than a day, but that meant compromise negotiations had been done before that. The governor is urging action this year on a long-term budget plan, and Alaska's credit rating has been downgraded again because of a lack of a stable budget. So what do lawmakers say? Is it crucial to get this work done in the next 4 months? And do they think it will happen? We'll find out when legislators join us today on Talk of Alaska.
Today's program is underwritten in part by
First National Bank Alaska. For nearly a century, First National has been Alaska's community bank. Learn how experience and local knowledge make the difference at fnbalaska.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters.
It's Talk of Alaska. I'm Lori Townsend. More cuts, new taxes, or other new revenue, revising oil and gas taxes, changes to how the permanent fund is used. These are some of the ideas being bandied about for ways to stabilize state government spending in the future. Last week, we heard from Governor Bill Walker and Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallott. And this week, we're hearing from lawmakers. Senator Peter Michicki joins us by phone from his office in Kenai. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning. Thrilled to be here this morning. Thanks for having us on.
Thank you for being available. We've also got Representative Chris Tuck. I should mention that Senator Peter Michicki is a Republican, and he is also a Senate Majority Leader. Representative Tuck is a Democrat. He is also the House Majority Leader. And also in the studio is Republican Senator Kathy Geisel. Thank you so much to the two of you for being here with me this morning.
My pleasure. Thanks, Lori.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thanks so much. You, too, can join the conversation, Alaskans. What would you like to see from the state legislature for a long-range fiscal plan? You can join the conversation at 1-800-478-8255. That's 1-800-478-TALK. That's statewide. If you're calling in Anchorage, the number is 550-8422. 550-8422. You can also email us, talk@alaskapublic.org. Senator Michicki, I want to start with you as Majority Leader, Senate Majority Leader. You have said that you don't favor an income tax, saying the state doesn't need one. Are there other new revenues or taxes you would support? Lay out how the Senate plan to close the deficit and stabilize the budget into the future. What would that look like?
Well, what's key is thinking about the fact that we just simply have not stabilized our funding. There's no doubt that the Senate majority supports a sustainable plan. However, I think there are different definitions of sustainability. Some choose to go right to revenues that would impact individual Alaskans. The Senate majority feels that we are in a recession, folks are already struggling. And if you probably remember during the session, I ran the model a lot and shared a lot of numbers with people. And the fact is, I mean, we just hit $60.8, essentially $61 billion in the permanent fund. And when you look at what's coming in for revenue today, you know, primarily oil and gas and other sources of revenue, and you think about a 5.25 draw in a percent of market value, endowment model, you're essentially covered. There may be a gap in some years, but when you look at out years and the growth of the fund, if we continue to control spending, and essentially I always look at UGF spending. That's the spending that the public would be on the hook for, if you will, if we didn't cover it in other ways. We don't feel that it's the right time to hit Alaskans with additional revenue impacts. Now, does that mean that we're not willing to sit at the table, you know, particularly during the interim here, and discuss the benefits of and impacts of various types of revenue? You know, when you look across the country and I spent a lot of time researching what happens in the other 49 states. I'm certainly open to discussing what potential revenue sources may look like, how they may impact Alaskans, how they may positively or negatively impact our economy. I think we have to be prepared in case things don't continue to go well, in case oil doesn't continue to hover around 50 bucks, that's slowly improving, in case production doesn't continue to improve on the slope. We have to evaluate those various types of revenue and understand what would be the best choice for Alaska. That I'm willing to do. That I believe the Senate majority is willing to do. Are we willing to pull the trigger right now? We simply don't believe it's the right time to do so.
So it sounds like there's room to negotiate, but that there's a lot of work left to do as far as bringing the two sides together. Let's get Representative Tuck in here now. And you've heard what Senator Machicki's laid out. What are your thoughts and reaction to that? And how far apart are the two sides?
Well, the Alaska House Majority Coalition came together to fix our fiscal situation. This is people reaching across party lines, having a common goal of saving the economy and protecting jobs. And so we wanted to fix the fiscal situation, and we wanted to do it within this year and next year. And, you know, the governor had a courageous plan that he put forward a couple years ago. It was a little bit out of balance, but he was trying to make sure that we were collecting revenues from all sources and making sure that we're not burdening one group of people over another group of people. And that's been our focus. Our focus is to no more deficit spending. Making sure that we have a plan that pulls us out of the deficit spending, because it's not going to happen overnight. Whatever we implement is going to take a couple of years, maybe even 3 years, to finally start seeing those structures in place. And we want to have meaningful capital budgets, because the economy is a big part of it's all about jobs. And the capital budget is a big part of maintaining those jobs. And so when we started, we pulled together, we're working together. And unfortunately, though, when the Resource Development Council had their meeting back in January, it was President Pete Kelly and myself were speaking. I spoke about the importance of working together to find a common solution to our fiscal situation. But unfortunately, at that time, the Senate President said it's going to be a fight. And it has been a fight. However, we are finally coming together now. And I think there's mutual respect there. And I think that we can find common ground in moving Alaska forward.
If you're just joining us, this is Talk of Alaska. And today we're talking about the future, Alaska's budget and future fiscal stability. Our guests today are Senator Peter Machicki, the Senate Majority Leader. He is Republican from Kenai, Soldotna area. He is on the phone from his office in Kenai. In the studio in Anchorage, we have Republican Senator Kathy Geisel and Democratic Representative House Leader Chris Tuck are both in the studio with us. Senator Geisel, you've heard both of your colleagues here, and you know, when you both came into the studio this morning, it was a friendly atmosphere. So what's happening? Are things coming together in your mind?
You know, Laurie, you asked about a fiscal solution, and Alaskans should know that the governor, the House, and the Senate all agree that we need to have that principle of using our savings wisely. For the first time ever this year, the House and the Senate both passed a bill that would prudently use our savings and still guarantee a dividend. That's never happened before. That's a great thing, and Alaskans should be encouraged by that. You know, we all agree that it's important not to base our revenue stream, our revenue on a single source. That would be like taking our retirement and investing it all in a single company and hoping that in the end we're going to have a solid retirement fund available. You know, we need to diversify that retirement fund. So the House and the governor and the Senate all agreed that it was time to begin that work. We all passed that bill. There are refinements that need to be done in it, but we've made progress forward, and Alaskans should be encouraged by that. At the same time, you mentioned that we are seeing an increase in unemployment. You mentioned jobs. You mentioned that our credit rating has declined. That's true. In fact, people have a higher likelihood of finding a job in Wisconsin than they do in Alaska. Our unemployment rate is going up, while the nation unemployment rate is going down. The average wage, hourly wage in the private sector in the lower 48 is going up. In Alaska, our wage is falling for the first time since the 90s. We have a problem. The problem is based on the fact that we rely on a single industry to drive our revenues. That industry is facing troubling times, reduced value for oil. So those are things that I personally am working on, the Senate majority is working on, and I know that House members are aware of and diligently working on also. I certainly led a conference committee for the Senate working with a House member, and she and I understand the importance of Alaskan jobs and our Alaskan economy.
1-800-478-8255 is the number to call if you'd like to join the program. That's 1-800-478-TALK statewide. In Anchorage, the number is 550-8422, 550-8422. You can also email us, talk@alaskapublic.org. So let's, Senator Machicki, I want to get you back in here. Are you hearing about the cuts that have been made to government from business leaders and others in the state? The governor said over the weekend that he's hearing from Alaskans who are experiencing pain from the reduction in service. What would you say about where the cuts have taken the budget to this point, Senator Machicki? And do you think that there's more to be done? And if so, where?
Well, so there's several schools of thought. There are some that believe that we need to increase spending to get back to sort of more traditional levels. There are others that believe in sort of a more draconian approach where there's still a million or a billion left to cut out of this budget. I'm sort of one that's a little bit in the middle, and I believe that's where the Senate majority is. We think there are increased efficiencies that can occur without impacting services at the street level. But to answer your question more directly, I believe there have been impacts. It's funny because you face some constituents that still believe that we haven't cut anything. And I can tell you that if you look at the difference of the $8 billion range UGF, in 2013, when I got into office, down to, you know, the operating budget UGF today is $4.19 billion. If you adjust it for inflation, it's the lowest it's been in 10 years. There have been significant cuts. Is it exactly what everyone wants? Well, I don't know. But if you lay out the various types of agency operations and you look at adjusted for inflation where we're spending, we're somewhere between the 07 and 09 level of spending for agency operations. I think we should celebrate those reductions. However, we are getting to the point where we are starting to impact services that Alaskans count on. I mean, when you think about the Senate majority increased some of the funding to day habitation. That is the most vulnerable group of Alaskans. Those are folks that need support of the Department of Health and Social Services for, you know, essentially their existence. And there was a significant reduction in the Senate majority. When we prioritized services, we actually added to that budget to soften that reduction. So we're trying to focus on those key services. Is there a lot of room for cutting? Are there billions that could be cut? Are there hundreds of millions that remain to be cut? I'm starting to question how much further we can go. However, by doing business better and with a continuous improvement philosophy, I think there are reductions that can continue to occur to at least keep the cost of our government flat for the next several years, as we did throughout the 90s. We went almost an entire decade without increasing the cost of our government, yet still while protecting those critical constitutionally required services that Alaskans count on.
Well, so it sounds like you're not gunning for continuing with deep cuts, that you're getting to the point where you're I mean, government can always be looked at for more efficiencies, of course, and it's something to watch the budget, just like any household has to do to make sure that the budget doesn't get out of whack. But it sounds like you're more comfortable with where things are now. Representative Tuck, what are your thoughts about that? Is this a place where House and Senate and Republicans and Democrats are coming to some consensus?
Yeah, we didn't start that way at the beginning of the session. I know that there was a goal to cut hundreds of millions from the Senate at the beginning of the session. But once we started getting into the budget and once we started looking at things, it's really tough right now because we have cut with over the last 3 years about 45% of our budget. We are back to the pre-pipeline days of budgeting, if you want to take inflation proofing and population growth out of the fact as a factor of that. But we've cut mostly seniors, mostly schools, mostly the university, public safety, and some of those items are very important to Alaskans. And as we saw when there was attempts to cut some of these programs even further, we're at a balancing point right now. Doesn't mean that we're not going to continue looking for small pockets of waste. We're going to do that. But I think we're getting right down to the size of government that Alaskans expect to remain functional. As the majority leader in the Senate pointed out, Peter Michicki, he says that we're going to keep looking at that and see what we can find. We're there with them, and I think that's the reason why, in the end, the operating budget came to an agreement with everybody because everybody was looking. We were trying. Everyone had worked very hard. It's very difficult in these days when we still need to provide services to Alaskans.
And Senator Giesel, it sounds like there's some consensus here. We're finding places of agreement. What are your thoughts about that? Do you think we're about at the right size for government?
You know, Lori, the right size for government is in the eye of the beholder. Senator Michicki has pointed out that making significant large cuts will be challenging. Public safety has experienced significant cuts. More than 30 positions lost. 20 of those, for sure, have been on the street, Alaska State Troopers. Now, that's impacting the Seward Highway. This last weekend, there was an accident on the highway, shut down traffic. This is commercial traffic, tourism, as well as families with children. During the school year, children in school buses going back and forth between Anchorage and Girdwood. So this is a critical issue. Public safety cannot bear further cuts. At the same time, we have a ferry system that is nearly 50%, more than 50% supported by state revenue, not supporting itself. In the summer, its main passengers are tourists. Why are we subsidizing the ferry system to this degree? There are efficiencies that need to be implemented there. The University of Alaska is now diligently working on making sure credits transfer between the two campuses, the multiple campuses. That hasn't been true up till now. How can that possibly be? A single university system, and yet you can't transfer a credit from Fairbanks down to Anchorage. Mm. There's some refinements that need to be done there. At the same time, we're the 47th lowest SAT scores in the U.S. for our high school students. And yet we're the highest spending, one of the highest top three spending states in the U.S. If spending increased performance, we should have the highest performing schools in the U.S. Clearly, there's reformation that needs to be done in our school districts.
All right. This is Talk of Alaska, and we are discussing ways to move the state forward on fiscally sound ground. We're going to turn to the phones for just a moment. Mike is in Juneau. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my call. In general, I wanted to rant about a couple of things. I'll try and keep it short and concise. But I do need to take issue with Senator Giesel's comments about the ferry system. Being a resident in Juneau, the fact that the ferry system is subsidized by the state, I'd like to ask how much do people on the Parks Highway pay to drive there and how much do tourists pay? Senator Giesel could enlighten us on that. The ferry system is the mode of transportation for Southeast. Now, the state has cut tremendously to the point where, and I'm a school teacher as well, And to take school groups, we're just canceling things because we can't take them to competitions during the winter. For starters, it's healthy. I'm sure she's aware that Juno is not connected by road to any place, and we need to use the ferry. The ferry is our highway system. So to say, to bemoan the fact that the state subsidizes the ferry system, well, I think it does the roads as well, unless her plan is to make toll roads of all the highways. Also, in terms of the school system, I believe that Senator Giesel is disingenuously throwing in the cost of the retirement system that was under Parnell. There was a huge debt. It was voted to repay the debt on the retirement system, and I believe she's lumping that in to the cost. But we do have a very expensive school system. It's spread out all over the state. We're dealing with villages. I've taught in villages. The villages are difficult to teach in. There's a lot of things that could be improved. I don't know that cutting the budget is the way to improve the school system. I'd like to see the legislature come up with great ideas and have committees to support a better school system. Cutting it, not really sure that that's been proven to be a great way to improve it, but maybe she can light me on that as well.
Well, thank you for laying out some of these thoughts of yours, Mike. I'd like to give our guests a chance to respond here. One of the things, you know, it's interesting to have someone, I knew that someone from Southeast would probably call when you mentioned ferries, and it was interesting to have someone who is also a teacher call in. One of the things that we've discussed on past programs about the budget is the idea of maybe a seasonal sales tax to capture some of the tourist dollars. Senator Giesel, would you consider a seasonal up ramp in the amount of ferry tickets for tourists? Or maybe if you're an Alaska resident, you get a different rate than somebody who is not an Alaska resident. What do you think about that?
I'm pretty sure a different rate for Alaska residents would be viewed as unconstitutional, Lori. Just to respond to that, you know, a sales tax is something that has been discussed, and I'm certainly open to seeing how that would impact Alaskans. But back to the road to Juneau. Yes, think of the jobs that would generate. That road is virtually paid for. The supplies for that, the materials are all stockpiled, ready to go. It would cost the state virtually, compared to the rest of our budget, nothing to implement the continued construction of that road. So I'm definitely in favor of that. Certainly, efficiencies in the ferry system are needed. I did not say anything about cutting education. I'm part of the education committee on the Senate side. I'm also part of the education challenge that the commissioner has implemented. There are innovations that can happen in education. In fact, there was just a couple weeks ago several articles in The Economist, that's a magazine, that talked about the incredible results that are seen by implementing technology in education, actually personalizing education, rather than a factory approach where children sit in desks for a certain number of hours and hear the same material from a single teacher all together, actually individualizing. One size fits all. This has shown significant results, and it's been demonstrated in Europe as well as here in the U.S. So there's a lot we can do to catch up to the rest of the world in education.
1-800-478-8255. 1-800-478-TALK is the number statewide. 550-8422. 550-8422. Or you can email us, talk@alaskapublic.org. Representative Tuck, a road to Juneau.
Well, we're still at the early stages of that. The environmental impact statements is still being done on that. It doesn't really necessarily take you out of Juneau. It takes you further, but it doesn't really connect you to anything else. We still have to build another ferry system, another port outside of Juneau. And it just really, right now, it's a mega project that I'm not sure that Alaska can afford. The Alaska Marine Highway System is a great system. I like the title. It is a highway, and it does connect our communities together. And, you know, just for Copper River Seafoods alone, they send me an email saying, hey, please don't cut the ferry system anymore. We spend $1 million a year on the ferry system, and we rely on that for our business, for our jobs. And so it's one of those pieces of infrastructure that Alaskans hope to have in connecting our communities and keeping our economy vibrant. It's the vein and vessels of our economy, and we don't want to pinch that off.
All right, we are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation about how to help the state stabilize its finances into the future as Talk of Alaska continues statewide.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from this APRN member station.
The Medallion Foundation and the Federal Aviation Administration set standards for the operation of aircraft in airports and provide services to the flying public. Passengers are influential in making flying safer in Alaska. When passengers know their rights and responsibilities, aviation is safer for everyone. Safety information online at faa.gov/go/flyalaska. This message sponsored by the Medallion Foundation.
Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. We are discussing the state's budget and the way forward to land on firmer fiscal ground. Senate Majority Leader Peter Michicki is on the phone from his office in Kenai. Senator, I wanted to give you a chance to give us some thoughts, and then we'll probably say goodbye to you and take some more calls and email questions. We also have House Majority Leader Representative Chris Tuck in the studio here in Anchorage, and Senator Kathy Geisel is also with us, Republican Senator Kathy Geisel, also in the studio. So, Senator Michicki, you've been hearing some of these thoughts from our callers and also the folks in the studio. What are your thoughts about the road idea? I know that one of the criticisms I've heard is that once it's built, then maintaining it is also the potential to be expensive. What are your thoughts about the road project?
Well, I'd rather comment, and as I said, this is just too interesting. I've rearranged my schedule, and I'm happy to stay if there are other questions. So I'm happy to stay through the hour. But, you know, the caller, and being from a coastal community, I have a sort of various perspectives on road transportation versus the Alaska Marine Highway System. But I had that budget for 2 years and did most of the reductions. The fact is, the reason why we're not charging a toll right now is that 100% of the communities in the state of Alaska have state highways, and approximately 10% of the population uses the Alaska Marine Highway System. Yet, when I received that budget in 2014, they had about half of the funding. So as ridership has continued to subside through the years, the last 15 years, ridership has declined fairly substantially. The subsidies increased. So what we've strived to do is to get back to those key routes that do serve, effectively serve those southeastern communities that come all the way up into places like Homer and Seldovia and Kodiak, of course, out on the chain. We've tried to determine what are the most necessary routes and make them as efficient as possible. So as I said again, state roads are in every community. Ferries are serving a much smaller proportion of that. We're trying to make that Department of Transportation funding fair for all of those users. The other thing I should touch on is the fact that K-12 funding has not been reduced in the base student allocation. I've got a chart right in front of me. When I got into office, it was $56.80 per student. It was $56.80 for 13 and 14, and then it went up to $58.30 in 15, $58.80 in 16, $59.30 in 17. So I think it's important that the public understand that we have not cut education funding. And some folks may argue that flat funding or relatively flat funding is a cut because of the increase in healthcare costs for the districts around the state. The Senate majority remains committed to funding education adequately. We did entertain a cut this year. It was proven to be less than popular, I think would be the nicest way to say that. And we're going to try to find ways to make our state government UGF spending much more efficient going forward. But education cuts have been very difficult to execute, and I think we've probably heard that message.
So I want to go back to the phones for a moment, but just a final comment by email from Kathleen in Haines about the Marine Highway System. She says, studies have shown, not sure what studies, she doesn't cite them, have shown that ferries return $2 to Alaska for every dollar spent. And she notes that the Alaska Marine Highway serves not only Southeast Alaska, but funnels tourists and tourist dollars into interior as well. And we also had a question that, much as we tried to dispel the idea that marijuana sales were going to somehow shore up the entire state budget, we're seeing now the reality of, yes, there is income coming in from marijuana sales, but certainly it's not going to balance the budget. Here's a question about a state lottery. Eric says by email that every state that has a lottery, there are huge revenues on the winnings, and he wants to know why no one has discussed a lottery. Who wants to tackle that question? Representative Tuck?
Yeah, that's actually a tough one. You know, one of the things that we need to have in looking forward to our fiscal situation, we need something stable, we need something lasting, we need something that we can count on. And I'm not sure if a lottery would get there. There should be more work done on that to take a look at and see, you know,
but
what kind of revenue.
Primarily just kind of like a number of residents issue. Doesn't it sort of come down to that? We just don't have the population base.
Yeah, if you look at Alaska, we're a little bit over one person per square mile. And Alaska has more coastline than I think the entire United States put together. I think almost like five times what the coastline is. Mm-hmm. And we have 242 airports that we maintain. We're number one in the world for maintaining airports. You know, and Alaska Marine Highway is an example of some of the infrastructure that we have to maintain where other states don't. And so our per capita expenses is very high. And we just won't be able to revenate the trickle of dollars that we'll be getting in on each individual Alaskan on a lottery that we hope to get. But, you know, and that's the reason why we're looking at a comprehensive fiscal plan, looking at all the industries and looking at all of our resources out there on how we can fix our fiscal situation. And one of the things that we did do this last year in regards to the budget is making sure that we're not paying out big, huge cash subsidies to the oil industry. That was something we just simply couldn't afford anymore. We ramped that down. We're back to the statutory levels of spending for the industry. Because in the past, we have been able to go a little bit beyond that and helping the industry out. And, you know, I've heard recently that it's going to be for under 50. I mean, the oil industry is looking at oil prices for a long-term or low oil prices. And so we just need to prepare for that. And as we look forward, we got to make sure that our oil production tax revenue is an essential piece of our comprehensive plan. I think that's going to be the next step in working together with the Senate.
Mm-hmm. I want to go to the phones. Did you want to jump
in? I just wanted to comment.
Please,
you know, as I listen to your show and you talk about revenue issues, I often hear the idea of gambling, a lottery, whatever. And, you know, I've heard it said that a lottery is a tax on people that aren't good at math. It's people that are risking their low incomes, typically, and never see that payoff. It's not a productive way to generate revenue for a state, regardless of the population. It feeds on people that are risking already their compromised incomes. Right. And so I would not be in favor of it.
I was just going to say, it sounds like you're not in favor of that idea. Let's go to the phones. Deborah is in Anchorage. Hi, Deborah.
Hi.
Did you have a question?
Well, I have a couple of questions. One of the things I'm still wondering about and have been for months is why the legislator does not listen to ICER on the ability to cut the budget and what would be best for the citizenship and the state. Because those numbers clearly show that these capital projects don't have the same return in monetary gain as actually distributing the PFD to the people who should have received it. So I don't understand why y'all don't listen to the experts and keep talking around the subject, because there's obviously millions of ways to cut the budget in this state. I mean, we have more school superintendents per capita than California does. So why do we need all those? Our commissioners, I mean, I don't even know how many we have. I've tried to look that up, but it seems to be a number that you're just going to have to go through and count everything that's going on. But there's a lot of commissioner positions that could be eliminated. Restoring our PFD would stimulate our economy, and it would stimulate it more than these state projects. And you talk about the ferry system and keeping that going and spending more money on that rather than what we really need, which is roads in the state, and not roads to Juneau to some place that doesn't connect to a real road system. We need roads that connect to roads, because this state is very poor in that area. I don't understand why you talk around these things when it's obvious to everybody else that these things need to be done. And when you do something like cut the funds for snow plowing, who in the world thought that was a good idea? You need to cut administration. You know, we could do without a few legislators rather than we can do it. Alaska can't do without snow plowing, and that's what we see you doing. And that just seems like a threat to the people. If you want your snow, your roads plowed, then you let us take your PFD and put a state income tax on you, and how here's a sales tax to boot. That's craziness.
All right.
None of this has to be done. We're not in a crisis, but we do have some wasteful spending going on in this state, a lot of it.
You sound frustrated, Deborah. Let's let our guests, the lawmakers that are with us today, respond to some of your thoughts. Sounds like Deborah would like to see more budget cutting. Senator Giesel.
You know, Deborah, I agree with your statement. We're not in a crisis. We are certainly facing a challenge. And I can say that as a lifelong Alaskan, born here before statehood. I was here and I remember this state, before oil. You're right. We have a huge number of school districts, each one with a superintendent, each one with a school board and infrastructure. That's part of the innovations that the Education Committee talked about this last session. Sadly, I'll just tell you, every dollar in the state budget has a constituency, and you've already heard that in some of the callers. Oh, don't cut this, that's what serves me. Oh, don't cut that, that's where I get gain from. So when we're being lobbied for these certain things from interest groups, it's hard to make innovative changes. I agree with you about ICER. They have recommended a much lower state budget. The state Senate has tried to reach that level and not so far been successful at doing that. But a study has also shown that approximately close to 50% of people actually don't spend their PFD. They actually save it. So the idea that it feeds our economy is frankly somewhat of a myth. What I would like to do, though, is make sure that that PFD is preserved for the future. Again, having been here before oil, I know that PFD makes a difference for families, saving it for college education, saving it for perhaps health emergencies. And so we want to preserve that permanent fund dividend, and the way to do it is through the bill that both the House, the Senate, and the governor have agreed to. I agree with you that we need roads. I was here before the Parks Highway was built, and that highway has made a huge difference. I remember having to drive the long way around to get to Anchorage. So I'm with you on roads. That's what brings economic development. So thanks for your call.
Representative Tuck, Deborah laid out some frustrations there. What are your thoughts about this?
Well, I agree with Deborah that the permanent fund dividend is a big part of our economy. I mean, there's four ways you can look at the permanent fund. There's four groups of Alaskans I see that look at the permanent fund in different ways. The first is there's people out there that say, hey, go ahead and take my permanent fund dividend. It's the cheapest tax I'll ever have to pay, and so I'm happy with that. And anytime there's a loss of income to pay for government, it's an income tax. And so that's the cheapest income tax someone will pay. Then you got another group of people out there that say, hey, keep your dirty paws off my permanent fund dividend. I know how to spend it better than government does. It's a big part of our economy. It's a huge boost. Cut the budget. Then you got a third group of people out there that say, hey, man, we have cut the budget as much as we can. We need to have public schools. We need to have public safety. There's this pot of money out there. Let's see if we can restructure, utilize it in some way. And then you got a fourth group of people out there that say, hey, this is the most unfair income tax that you can impose on women, children, fixed income seniors, rural Alaskans versus, multimillionaires. And so, do something more fairly. And that's what we try to do in our coalition in the House, is we put together a comprehensive package, one that was contingent on one element to another element. I'm sure that we did have some permanent fund restructuring in there, but along with that, we were capturing income from out-of-state workers, from those multimillionaires by combining it with an income tax. That way, the impact on an average Alaskan family was very, very much minimalized, unlike just taking the permanent fund or cutting the permanent fund dividend in half. So again, we were working and trying to get something fair and balanced in that way. I understand the frustrations that people have out there, the angst. You know, they turn on their TV and all they hear about is cutting the dividend, imposing taxes, and people are living within their means. Why isn't Alaska living within their means? And I think as Senator Michicki had pointed out, although the Senate wanted to do a 5% to public education, when we came down, I mean, that was a nice goal. We all really had that goal, how we can do things more efficient. But right now, we have to look at methods rather than just cutting dollars.
Let's go back to the phones for just a moment and bring Nora on from Juneau. Hi, Nora.
Hi. Thanks for giving me an opportunity to speak, and I hope I can sound sane. I just am so tired of hearing political answers, and they sound like political answers, to people's serious needs and wants. I, too, have some issues and pieces that I really feel passionate about, but I am tired of a legislature that does not do their job, that is bloated and has not. I hear nothing about squeezing the politicos, like the services to the people are being squeezed. All these pieces, people focused on the ferry, the road. I think the road is a dead issue and should stay a dead issue, but that's my opinion. But what about the overpaid legislative aides? What about the amount of travel government does? Do you know, I was doing some research, and there are a number of states down lower 48 that do not have these bloated legislatures that meet every year. Some of them do it every other year. They have controlled on the amount of time special sessions can be called, but they're not done the way they're done here. You guys are not doing your jobs. You're not focusing on you to take care of the people you serve. And I think it's been forgotten. I spoke directly to one legislature about this, and he just waved it off. Oh, we thought about that. We're not going to do it anymore. But have you really? Have you really thought about the fact that the government is to serve the people, not itself?
All right, and Nora. Okay, thank you. You're clearly frustrated, and I'd like to give our guests a chance to respond now. This is probably something that you hear from constituents, that they're frustrated and they're concerned and people are worried. They're scared about what will happen in the future. Representative Tuck, let's start with you.
Well, in the House, we did limit our staff pay. We capped it. We also limited the number of staff that we have. And we also cut our own per diem down because we didn't think it was fair that the industry doesn't pay per diem at as high as the legislature pays itself. So we cut that down. So we made those efforts. When you look at all the other cuts that we can make, we're working on it. We're trying to find it. We did pass a comprehensive package by day 90. Unfortunately, we did all the hard work on our side. People said there was no way that it was going to be possible, no way it's going to get done. Even the press was saying, didn't believe that, with this new coalition coming together, that we had the fortitude or the ability to make it happen. We did. We made it happen on day 90. We were trying to avoid going into these extended sessions and now special sessions on working on stuff that we had done way in the 90-day session. We just got done with House Bill 111, and that was in the first special session. And so we're trying to cut the cost by getting our work done quicker and getting it done faster. Unfortunately, these special sessions cost Alaskans a lot of money. We're draining our legislative budget this year, and we had it, we cut that back, but we left some room in there. But we are. I mean, unfortunately, we broke the record 181 days of session this year, 180 days in consecutive session. And then we took a step back and said, no reason to be down in Juneau. collecting per diem until we have a deal with the Senate. In the Senate, we all work together. We thought that was a prudent thing to do. And as we move forward in the future, I hope that we can continue doing that, not going into session unless we actually have things worked out, which means we got to do more of our homework in advance, and we're willing to do that.
Senator Geisel, I did have an email question about this issue of per diem, and the question noted that the House had made adjustments. What about the Senate side? And we should probably let Senator Machicki chime in here, too. But Senator Geisel, have there been efforts on the Senate side to do these things?
Lori, absolutely. And of course, one of the things that Nora should know as a Juneau resident, that we could really significantly cut per diem by moving the legislative sessions to Anchorage, where approximately 50% of the legislators live. I don't think her community would be happy about that. Remember, I said every dollar in the budget has a constituency, and Juneau has a very powerful lobby that keeps the legislature isolated in Juneau. It's a place that citizens cannot visit readily. It costs $600 round trip for a citizen. That's outrageous. No other state has a state capital that is not accessible by a road. Now, in terms of special sessions, there are a large number of states who have had special sessions this year. In fact, some of them are still ongoing. There are also legislatures that meet year-round, and they have professional legislators. In other words, they're paid a salary, significant salary, and that is their full-time job. I am, in real life, a nurse practitioner. I have to stop my job to go to Juneau. Right now, I am waiting for an opportunity to again volunteer as a nurse practitioner because I've been gone most of the summer, most of this year. You know, the important thing here is not so much what we got done, but so much what we stopped. The Senate stopped an income tax on middle-income and low-income working families. The House barely passed that income tax. The Senate resoundingly rejected it. That would have been a significant impact on middle income and low income. 65% of that income tax would have come from those middle and low income wage earners. So sometimes it's important what doesn't get done, what gets stopped.
Well, I do want to talk more about an income tax before the show wraps up here, but let's get back to the phones. Kristen is in Anchor Point. Hi, Kristen.
Hi.
You have a question?
Thank you for letting me be on. I've been listening to this, and there is one thing that does keep baffling me. We talk about we need to cut the numbers here and raise the revenue there, but the overall cost of running the state, it's very difficult to ascertain, even if you go online. I know money goes into the troopers. They said they had to cut the troopers. They cut basically at the bottom of the troopers. They cut off troopers. I didn't hear anything about them putting a wage freeze on any of the higher levels of the troopers, like the various administrators and the commissioner and all these other programs. I hear that they want to cut schools, and that usually means teachers, but you don't hear about what part of the administrative or the paperwork pushing. I know a lot of money is wasted in Alaska because we have such antiquated computer systems. I mean, I it would appear that we're at least 15, 20 years behind the computer revolution. I have a friend. She works for Mental Health Trust. She has to go in on her day off to file her paperwork because there is no secure computer line that she can go through to do this. This all costs money. This is all things that can, with a little tweak, can be fixed. It concerns me that when they talk about taxes, it's always the lower people, the working class, the lower middle class. We never hear about the taxes, the actual taxes being collected from the very wealthy, and there are some very wealthy people running around this state.
All right. Well, thank you, Kristen. We're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk more about how complicated this is, as we're seeing. It's not easy to figure out the way forward. We've got people in the studio who are working on those things, and Alaskans out there letting us know their ideas and sharing their frustrations. And we'll take more questions and comments as Talk of Alaska continues statewide.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from this APRN member station.
Boating accidents happen, even to experienced boaters, and on calm, sunny days. This boating season, make those you care about promise to be rescue ready by always wearing a life jacket when in an open boat or on deck, attaching the engine cutoff device when underway, and carrying emergency communication and distress signaling devices on their person. Visit pledgetolive.org for more. This message sponsored by the Alaska Office of Boating Safety.
Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. We are in the final stretch of the program. We have a lot of callers on the line and some emails. And I wanted to go back to this idea of an income tax, because what I'd like to find in the last few minutes here is, where are the points where you feel like the House and Senate are really coming together, and the Democrats and Republicans are coming together, and where are still these walls between you, or the stumbling blocks? And it seems as if the income tax is certainly one of those areas where there is disagreement. Senator Geisel, you've clearly said not in favor of an income tax at this time. Representative Tuck, House leadership has been in favor of putting this in. Senator Geisel and Senator Machicki, if you're still on, when would it be time for an income tax to be put into place? Why is now not the time to put in something that's small so that the system's there for the future?
So, Lori, why not now? I think you've got listeners out there who can name family members, neighbors, or friends who have left the state of Alaska. In the last 4 years, we have had a steady decline in our gross domestic product here in Alaska. In other words, our economic production has declined for 4 years in a row. This has never happened before. In 1986, and some of your listeners were here then, as was I, my husband had no job. I had no money for groceries, but we held on, and we recovered out of that quickly. We are not recovering out of this. To implement an income tax right now, when people's wages are going down, I said for the first time in the last year, wages have decreased in the state of Alaska. This is not the time to start taking more money out of people's pockets. So in the future, perhaps we do reinstitute an income tax, which I paid, but right now is not the time.
Representative Tuck, make your cat. Yes, Senator Machicki, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm several questions back here, which I'm not going to touch on all of them. I do need to touch on the fact that we did not cut the troopers this year. In fact, we increased 5 positions in the trooper budget, recognizing the importance of that particular department and how it has been impacted in the over the last several years. So I just wanted that clear for the last caller. On the income tax issue, here's the deal, and I promise not to say our side or their side. I've heard that a couple times today, and I know Representative Tuck doesn't mean it that way, but I don't want to say our side and their side, but we come from very different districts. Here's the reality. Some people believe government is run by magic dust. They don't want any cuts. They don't want their dividend impacted, and they don't want to pay any taxes, but they're the first ones to send you a letter when something does get reduced, like snow plowing or any other service. Think of a service, your favorite service, when it's reduced. You don't want to pay because we haven't paid for a generation, and that's going to change. Impacting the dividend, unfortunately, was a tactic the governor took last year. We believed it was going that way this year. It's difficult when you think of the fact that half of the adults in Alaska work, that we're going to pay out a dividend and tax the half that is working. We're going to penalize the behavior that we hope to increase, and we're going to redistribute that wealth in order to cover these services with folks that either choose to, or for another reason, they do not have the ability to work. Well,
we feel that it is our duty to help those that do not have the ability to work. But that redistribution right now in a recession when we are losing families, particularly when we have a means of covering 95% of our budget today through a POMV, to me says it's not the right time. We must research the best revenue options going forward. My district favors a sales tax.
All right.
But we must understand those impacts going forward, but we just do not feel that today is the time to institute an income tax.
All right. Well, and I want to we only have a couple minutes left. Representative Tuck, I want to give you a chance to make your case for why, in your mind, an income tax does make sense right now.
Well, there are a lot of Alaskans that say, hey, how can we tax these out-of-state workers that are benefiting from the high-paying jobs that we have up here in Alaska, but they don't live up here, they travel out-of-state? And that's in the oil industry, the mining industry, the construction industry, and a fast forth right there is the healthcare industry. And one of the ways that you can do that, I mean, you can't just tax out-of-state workers because that's against the U.S. Constitution. However, what if we were to have an income tax on everybody, but those who are Alaskans get a rebate? So you're effectively taxing out-of-state workers. Well, that's what we did in the House. We're giving a higher permanent fund dividend to Alaskans, and as in the form of a rebate. And that's why we put the permanent fund restructuring combined with an income tax. That way we can start building up that permanent fund dividend again, because again, anytime there's a loss of income, it's basically an income tax. So doing a POMV only is an income tax. And so the Senate that was the same piece of legislation that they had last year. And so that's effectively what it is. We want to make sure that's fair. We want to make sure it's balanced. And so we need to have something in place now, because it's going to take 3 years before any of that revenue is going to be collected. And who knows, 3 years from now, maybe it's not necessary for one, but we got to get the structure in place now, because if we wait any longer, we're going to see a huge crisis here in the state of Alaska. And I was here in 1986, and I saw my families and friends leave the state of Alaska because we no longer had any economic or job opportunities or even education opportunities. And we don't want to go back to those days where, you know, housing market went crashing down. And so that's what we're trying to do in the House. That's the reason why we came together, is to protect the economy and save jobs.
So I have one last question. We only have a few seconds left. Is there the potential of a fourth special session in October? I've heard that mentioned.
You'd have to ask the governor. I do not believe the Senate would agree to call ourselves back into a fourth special session. What do you think, Representative Tuck?
You know, that's a good question. It all depends on our relationship building from here to then and what's going to be on the call. I think that we proved ourselves really well with having a one-day special session on the capital budget.
All right. Well, thank you so much to Senator Peter Michicki on the phone from Kenai, to Republican Senator Kathy Geisel in the studio here in Anchorage, and Democratic Representative Chris Tuck also in the studio. Thanks to you for listening. I'm Lori Townsend. We'll be back next week.
Talk of Alaska is made possible by this member station of the Alaska Public Radio Network, by First National Bank Alaska. For nearly a century, First National has been Alaska's community bank. Learn how experience and local knowledge make the difference at fnbalaska.com.
Alaska Job Corps Center offers training to young people 16 to 24 years old interested in completing their education or starting a career and who meet income eligibility. On-the-job experience is provided in all the training programs, from accounting services to security and protective services. Tweet hashtag CareersBeginHere to learn more. This message is sponsored by Alaska Job Corps Center, Chugach Education Services, Inc.
This program is a production of APRN, which is solely responsible for its content. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. CD copies are available by calling 550-8400.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.